Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on here, and your Milwaukee Brewers, just one game over 500. And it is way, way, way too early to even have this conversation, but for what it's worth, I believe they are currently last in the NL Central. Again, games separating these teams, so not worth the panic. But 5-5 over their last 10, and starting a series against the Diamondbacks at AmFam Field. We are efforting Jeff Levering this morning to join the Brewers. Gabe, we have talked about how the Brewers just need to basically survive until they get some of their offensive guys back, some of these guys in the lineup back from injury. How do you think they've done?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is, you're going to have stretches, you know, where you're playing 500 baseball for a month, and that's basically what they've done here. This was their start, and I'm not saying they're going to win 97 games, but this is kind of where they were a year ago. And it started 0-4, terribly awful, and they fought their way back pretty early to get to a very similar spot. So I don't look at the divisional standings, don't really care until we hit, you know, Memorial Day. Then you start kind of checking in, looking around, seeing where you're at, seeing where you got to get better at. And yeah, their offense hasn't hit a home run in a long time now. Hopefully Bernie starts going down that slide in the series against the Diamondbacks starting today. And the bullpen needs to be a little bit sharper. They've had some leads that they just haven't held on to. So I think it's things that are going to be easily correctable for the Brewers, especially once the bats of Vaughn, Churio, and Yelich get healthy.
But is this year different, Gabe? I know every year we wait for the Reds to tank. We wait for the Pirates to tank. I mean, St. Louis has been down. But could this be a year they don't tank?
I doubt it. Like somebody's gonna fall.
Cincinnati's not good though with some of the moves they made.
They're okay, but I mean it's not, this division's not gonna end with everybody over 500. You know, like at some point someone's gonna, you know, teams are gonna start losing games. And I just trust the Brewers and the roster that they have, especially with the starting pitching that they have, that that's ultimately going to rise to the top.
27 games in, they are 14-13. 27 games in last year, they were 13-14. To Gabe's point about how we're not all that far off from last year's pace. Slightly better, actually. And last year, obviously, was a historic year for your Milwaukee Brewers. Time now to talk to Jeff Levering, who joins us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jeff. How should fans feel about this first month of the season as we almost put a bow on the month of April?
Well, I don't think this month of April feels like the year of April from last year. And to your point, just a couple of moments ago, the team in late May was under 500 last season and still won on a tear and won 97 games. I think that the Brewers, where they are right now, they should be very happy with where they are, with a 30-year offense basically missing, starting pitching with one guy in that rotation that has 1 year of experience under his belt in terms of Brandon Woodruff, and that's it. Nobody else has a full season of Major League Baseball under their belt. I'd take a couple of games over 500 right now, considering what's on this roster. They're doing fine. Now, the month of May is going to be a grind. Some tough teams that are in there. You got to get the Cardinals a couple times. The Yankees come to town. You got the Padres. Got the Dodgers coming. But at the same time, I feel pretty good with where the Brewers are right now.
Jeff, I know we talk about it in football where you can't use injuries to as an excuse to an extent. Is it the same in baseball? Because they were beat up last year. To me, they just don't, and I think you alluded to it, they don't look the same as they did.
No, it's different. You're right. They do look different. Nobody's using injuries as an excuse either. And Murph talks about it all the time. It's about opportunity. It's about opportunity for these guys. You want to prove that you're a big league player every day? Go out there and prove it. My favorite line always, whether it's in the minor leagues, the big leagues, basketball, football, soccer, whatever it is, my favorite line is, if you don't like it, then play better, right? If you don't like it, play better. And for if you're the Brewers, if you don't like the way that things are going right now, then play better. You can't help some of the things that are happening with injuries or what your schedule is. You just go out there and you go play, and you let the chips fall where they may. I think the Brewers are still playing their style of baseball. The offense has been inconsistent this year, but they'll find it. They'll be okay.
Jeff, what have you seen as the difference for Trevor McGill over the last five outings? I know it was two really rough ones, and you know the panic set in because the ERA hit double digits after the rough outings against Washington and Toronto. But the last five outings, he has struck out seven. The only run he's allowed was the ghost runner that starts on second base in the extra innings game at Miami. What have you seen that's been different for Trev?
He's throwing a lot more strikes, and his fastball is working up in the zone more, which allows that breaking ball to be on the same plane and dive down. He's just throwing a lot more strikes. I think his stuff, he's throwing it with more conviction. That's a big part of it. I kind of throw that Washington appearance out the window because they were just bunting all over him. He was really scuffling, and the wheels fell off there. Toronto, okay, fine, you have a bad outing. I think everybody has a bad outing every now and again. Even Trevor had a couple of those last season in an All-Star year. But I just feel like he's in a much better situation with where his command is. Yeah, he's a couple of ticks down in his velocity, 96, 97 miles an hour. But if he's throwing it on the correct plane up in the zone with his fastball so that curveball comes down and tumbles for him, he's going to be in good shape. And he's throwing his curveball for strikes too. He can steal some strikes at the beginning of an at-bat with that curveball. So, I just think that he's in a better spot.
He's been kind of used now all over the place. Do you see him transitioning back into the ninth inning, or can he kind of become the fire extinguisher the way Andrew Miller was for teams like the Cardinals? I mean, that's probably a decade ago at this point, where, for those who don't know, Andrew Miller was a tremendous relief pitcher, but he never closed games. He just kind of came in and put out little fires here and there if happened to be in the sixth or seventh. What do you think his role is going to be going forward?
Yeah, sometimes, Gabe, that safe situation does come in the sixth or seventh inning. It depends on the pocket of the lineup. I think going into each game, the Brewers are going to have a pocket, and they go, okay, if push comes to shove and we need you to get these three outs, these are going to be your three guys to get if you're starting an inning. Or I don't see them bringing him in with guys on base. But, hey, if you're going to start an inning and it's 3, 4, 5 in the sixth or the seventh inning, they might use him in that situation. Could he go back into the ninth inning or pitch in extra innings to pick up saves? Absolutely, I think so. I think the trust is starting to come back for Trevor.
Jeff Levering joins us right now on the Yingling Hotline. Yingling now officially in Wisconsin. Enjoy responsibly. Boston Red Sox fans were absolutely catatonic over the weekend after watching Kyle Harrison have one of his best games ever, feeling like they got fleeced once again by the brilliant front office in Milwaukee. What has been the difference for him?
Well, I would say first and foremost, tough to be a Red Sox fan right now. They had a tough weekend, but that's okay. The Brewers are better for it. Listen, Kyle Harrison, he had a really healthy offseason. That's number one. It's the first time he's had a healthy offseason, I think, since his rookie year in 2023-ish, 2024. So the fact that he had a healthy offseason to work on things, he had a pitching coach that inherited him for an entire offseason, basically, even though the trade didn't happen until February. He didn't get traded to a team that tried to switch things midseason. A little thing, just moving over to the first base side of the rubber instead of working in the middle of the rubber, makes his stuff look different. But I think it all comes down to him just having a really good offseason. That fastball is electric. I go back to a story that I was told from spring training where Jackson Churio jumped in against Kyle Harrison and he struck him out, and Churio skipped the line to get back in because he wanted to see it again. He goes, "Dude, I couldn't pick the ball up. So I want to see what this guy's throwing again." So those are the little things where you go, okay, well, if Jackson Churio is having a tough time picking a ball up against this guy, what's everybody else thinking about? So I just think that he's thrown with a lot more confidence. He's got a franchise that believes in him, and he's thrown loose and easy. It's great. It's great to watch. He was dominant the other day.
Jeff, what do you do with Frelick? I mean, I know he's struggling. He's taking a little bit of heat here. Do you let him play through it? Do you sit him when Churio comes back? does he have enough clout where you don't send him down? What do you do?
You got to have him in right field. I mean, he's a gold glove right fielder. You trust that his at-bats are going to get better, and I think they have been. The hits are going to come for him. I think he continues to have long at-bats and puts pressure on pitchers, so that's always a helpful tool as well, not just for his at-bats, but at-bats that follow his, because he's running pitch counts up, and it might not result in a base hit or a walk or something, but it affects the next hitter and the next hitter after that. So there is a trickle-down effect to some of these ABs. I think that he has enough staying power. He has enough of that veteran leadership within the franchise that I don't think that they're going to contemplate sending him down. I think he's going to be just fine.
Confidence? Is it like a golfer who all of a sudden just loses it and like, where the hell it go? And
well, I don't know about that. I think that he just needs to get a two hit game. He's only had one multi-hit game this season. Go out there and go 2-for-2. I mean, he had a game the other day on Saturday where he's 0-for-0 with two walks and two sack flies.
Strangest stat line.
Right? I love those stat lines. It's like, you didn't even have that bat. You're right, but I was productive because I took two walks and I had two sack flies and I helped my team get back in that ball game.
Wasn't he dealing with some back tightness on Saturday as well? Wasn't there some concern that maybe that was going to be a lingering? I know that Murph was like, it's not. I guess I worry about him from a competitor standpoint, Jeff, in
sure.
that even if he might need a day or two, he wants to be out there for his team, you know, continuing to take those hacks.
Yeah, he doesn't know any different, Jen. I mean, he wants to be out there every single day. He wants to go through a fence and then pick up the baseball and, you know, do a Taka Tanaka for Major League Two where he pounds into the wall and the wall falls on him. And then you see his hand pop up through the wall. Like, I caught it! Taka Tanaka!
This is
why I love
Sal. Jeff.
That's what Sal wants to do.
Because
I just bust out those crazy references.
Who else is busting out Major League Two references, Jeff? Like, maybe Major League, but Taka Tanaka. I mean, again, fantastic reference. I love it. I don't know how many other people did. But yeah. this is why Jeff's the best.
Pedro Serrano's, he's tagged out administering CPR to a pigeon.
Again, very specific. Is Bernie going down the slide tonight? Are we going to end this streak?
God, I hope so. It's been a while. This is a tough dry spell for the old Brew Crew hitting home runs. They've hit 19 home runs on the season. 16 of them have been hit at home. So I would say, by law of averages, today is a good night to hit a home run.
Have you gone down the slide?
I have multiple times with my children.
Okay.
I was more scared than my children were.
Really?
That's no joke.
Didn't a guy break
his
arm?
Oh, that. So, yes, but that was take two. So he went up the slide and went down the slide the first time and then forgot to hit record on his phone. So he got a little high in his britches and recorded it and didn't land the dismount. And that's when he folded up and broke his wrist. So that's on him.
I didn't know.
That first drop is pretty...
I didn't realize that was the second take. I think you're breaking some news.
Take
here.
Two.
Yeah.
No, I don't know, but come on. That was take two. Dave Vasse.
Had no idea that was the second take when the Dodgers reporter broke his wrist.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still one of my favorite memes when they introduce him. He's in the sling and he just does this.
So good. Before we let you go,
Dave.
Jeff, on the injury front, and I know that they remind us of this during every broadcast, but who are you expecting of the guys who are currently injured to be back on the field first?
If I was a betting man, I would put a couple bucks on Jackson Churio being the first guy back. He's been swinging pain-free for about a week, which is good. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes out for a rehab assignment in the next couple of days. Andrew Vaughn is going to get reevaluated, I think, on either tomorrow or Thursday, so he could go back out on a rehab assignment as well. So you could, by the next road trip, Washington, D.C., St. Louis, you could potentially see those two guys back in that Brewers lineup.
That is excellent news. Jeff, we appreciate you hanging out with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Have a great day. And you know what?
Appreciate you guys, Sam.
We'll talk to you again soon.
You will next week. Next week in St. Louis.
That's what they tell me. Have a good one.
See you guys.
I got to figure out a different out because I fall into the trap of saying the same thing to every Jason.
Yeah.
Adam, Jeff.
Gotta you can just say again, we'll talk to you next week. Because again, these are people that are inconsistent. Jason, hey, we'll talk to you on Thursday. Talk to you on Friday. Do all those different, you know.
I got it.
Have you guys been down the slide?
Yeah, multiple times.
Really? I don't think I have. I don't think I ever went.
Crazy?
When you guys went, like when we had the GKB day, when the opportunity was there, I was out of town on a shoot.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was one of the times that I went down. Another time we were doing a promotion with X-Golf at AmFam Field. So Steven Watson and I, we were doing on the tee out there. So we went down a couple of times. Yeah, the second time we went down is a little quicker. And I don't know if it was because it was a little later in the year. It was a little more humid. So you have to go down on like a mat. You're not just going down on your own butt. So you're going down on this mat, and I don't know if because there's a little bit moisture, it made it a little slicker. So the second time that I went down, it was a little faster, and I can see how if you kind of lose your bearings, how that guy ended up breaking an arm. Like if you just don't pay attention to what you're doing.
We were on a Royal Caribbean cruise where they have the slide in the back.
Okay.
Is it a water slide?
No, I think it was just a slide. So I tried doing it, and it wasn't the biggest slide. And I brought my knees up, and the slide wasn't that big, and I wound up burning the crap out of my knees because they were rubbing on the top of the slide.
On the top? Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Never again. Seems like a skill issue.
So I'm kind of, I have a phobia now.
Why would you try to cannonball a slide?
Good question.
Like you're already like questionable size for the slide.
I can tell you why. The drink package.
Thank you, Josh.
Easy peasy.
Thank you.
That's a liner. You know,
it makes sense. You put two and two together, turns out it does equal four. You ever notice
it hurt
that
the next day a lot more than it did that day?
Again, something else that adds up. Makes sense. Did you ever notice that some people are picky when it comes to their beer? But Yuengling gets it. That's why they brew a beer for every taste. Start with the legend. A Yuengling traditional lager. That's what's in my refrigerator right now. A smooth amber lager that's been around longer than our great football rivalries. Then there's light lager. Crisp, easy drinking, golden pilsner with a clean, refreshing taste. And then there's also the black and tan, which is the perfect blend of porter and pilsner. So whether I'm tailgating, watching the game at a sports bar, or just kicking back at home, I'm always reaching for a Yuengling. Yuengling, the oldest brewery in America. DJ Yuengling & Son, Pottsville, PA. Enjoy responsibly.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bubble is a dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, throw up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're getting ready to propose, of course, the only place to go is the Jewelry Center. It's the place to go. It's what I did. Didn't know exactly what my now wife was looking for. Kind of had a couple of ideas, and the helpful team at the Jewelry Center was able to point me in the right direction. So come in with some ideas. Go to her Pinterest page, bring those in. And that's, to me, what separates the Jewelry Center is the helpful team. Whether you're going to Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, or Mequon, it's a great team that always makes sure that dream ring becomes a reality. And honestly, with everything done in-house at the Jewelry Center, costs less than I expected. So whether you're looking for a custom engagement ring or want something else, like nice diamond earrings or a gold chain, again, a lot of other things other than engagements going on this time of year, they've got you covered. Check out the Jewelry Center, Greenfield, Brookfield, Burlington, or in Mequon.
It's Chewy's favorite segment of the week.
Hey, big guy, you catch the game?
It's power rankings time on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Did you catch the game last night?
Can I say yes to you?
What will the big guy have in store for us today?
See the game last night?
Which game?
Any of them.
All righty, here we have it. Post-draft power rankings. This isn't who had the best draft. This is which teams are the best in the league after the 2026 draft. Brought to you by the NFL Network.
Okay.
ESPN getting a little lazy. They don't even have them. What's going on?
You calling someone lazy.
That's because he's a grinder, Jen.
Fair.
ESPN, they're not grinding the way Chewy is.
Tricky spot for us to be in.
No. Yep.
Chewy's grinding.
They're tough graders, too.
Just
NFL
so you know,
Network,
the NFL Network is now a part of ESPN.
Really? So that's why ESPN got lazy. They pushed it off. Can appreciate that, because from time to time, I do push things off on
delegate.
People.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe.
In a shocking development.
Yeah, I'm a huge delegator.
All righty.
All right, 10.
Well, again, I don't know how much this year's draft changes the power rankings from the end of the season. So for number 10, let's go with where we were, I think. Weren't the Bears number 10 last time we did a NFL power rankings?
I'm guessing the Bears are going to be a little bit higher, so I am going to say the Baltimore Ravens.
Philadelphia. Ooh, freedom.
Really? Okay.
Philly is 10. They took a receiver, Mekhi Lemon, first round.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Added Devontae, so they're in pretty good shape. All right, 9.
This is tricky. Are the Packers going to be on this? No, because they did not like the draft.
So but it doesn't necessarily mean, yeah. I mean, if I am going to be guessing the Packers either here or 8. I can't imagine they're much higher.
Fine. Packers number 9 Packers. On the power rankings post-draft.
New England Patriots.
Ooh, what in the world?
9.
The New England Patriots who were in the Super Bowl last year.
Yep.
Yeah, number 9.
I didn't need you guys to confirm that they were in the Super Bowl last year. I'm saying, what could they possibly have done in the draft, or not done, I suppose?
Well, their head coach is a little distracted right now.
Moving on?
Yep.
8. That was a good one, Gabe. Good pop.
I will say this is where the... I'll say A-O. We'll go A-O here. A-O. Buffalo.
Buffalo? Jen?
Packers? I don't want to be a homer, but...
Kansas City Chiefs.
Okay, now I'm done with the Packers. I'm done talking about the Packers.
How are the Chiefs anywhere near the top 10? Who knows when Patrick Mahomes is going to be healthy?
Corner. They got Mahomey.
Yeah, but I don't know when...
They like their draft.
Sure, but I mean, the biggest question for them is, when is Patrick going to play? I can't imagine it's going to be early in the season.
I also saw that people loved the Philadelphia Eagles draft. I saw ESPN give them an A for their draft. The Philadelphia Eagles were a playoff team last year. They got an A for their draft, and they were number, what, 10?
Yeah.
On this power rankings list?
They were 10. But
I think you can project losing A.J. Brown. New offensive coordinator. Yeah. Well, Sean Mannion's well-respected. Who knows how he actually performs in that role.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are a lot of questions with the Eagles.
I don't like it.
Number 7.
The Chiefs, yeah. Because Mahomes, there's no way he starts the season.
How about the Rams?
Yeah, why not?
Guess is as good as mine at this point.
I will say Baltimore.
The Houston Texans.
Jeez.
Wow.
Are number 7.
What does it say about why the
drafted
Houston Texans?
Drafted a guard, drafted a D-tackle. Yeah.
Who wrote this list? You said it was NFL Network, but who's the author?
Eric Edholm.
Okay.
Oh, Eric's pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, Jen was looking to rip someone.
You guys are
like,
over, by the way.
I can't rip Eric. Ah, dang it.
What'd you
say?
In
case you're wondering, you haven't got one right.
No, we know.
Number 6.
You. Jeez.
I've been scoring along at home, so yes.
Number 6.
I'm trying. Okay, so I like there are teams that people really liked. They really liked the Raiders. And I don't think the Raiders are on this list because they were so bad last year. But you know what they really liked? The Bears. Are the Bears 6 on this list?
Can I give you a hint?
Please.
You're not getting this one right either.
Okay. All right. I like it. 49ers.
Oh, you suck.
Yeah. I'm not even mad. I'm just glad we got one. 49ers at number
6. All right.
What, 6?
Explain why you said the 49ers.
Because you said I wouldn't guess it, and I didn't think there's a chance in the world the Niners would be in the top 10, yet because they're the Niners, they still get a lot of respect.
They got a lot of criticism for their draft, though, by the way.
But they're 6. 5.
Make it make sense.
Not Skittles.
Broncos?
Okay, yeah. So, okay, the Broncos got to be in the top 5. The Rams, the Seahawks all have to be in the top 5. Chargers could be in the. I'll go Chargers.
Jen?
I said Broncos, but I can say it again.
Baltimore.
Ah, dang it.
I just don't understand the rhyme or reason to this list, so.
I don't either.
I mean, the Ravens are a talented team. Again, I wouldn't put them in the top five right now, but. Again, speaking.
All right, let's see if you can regroup here.
Can you at least reset the list so I know which ones are off the board?
Okay, we've got Philadelphia Freedom. We've got New England. We've got Kansas City. We got the Texans. We got the Niners, and we have Baltimore.
Okay, so the Bills still not on the list. So let's go with the Bills.
Yeah, I like the Bills here.
A. O. Brian D. is number four.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay. So at least I know what the next three teams are going to be. It's just figuring out what order they put them in.
You do?
Yeah. I am going to say here they're going to go. I'm going to say Seattle at three.
Ooh, I think Seattle's higher than that. I had Seattle sort of locked in at number one. In Broncos, we haven't said yet. How about the Broncos?
Broncos are three.
Yes.
Good call. They are three. Give me two.
I will say Seattle is two.
I can't remember who we haven't gotten to. Did you say Chargers is still on the list? Chargers.
The Rams are
damn
two.
It. God. The Rams are the betting favorite. That's why I was going to go with the Rams at one.
And then Seattle is number one.
I knew the Rams were going to be number two. Okay, they love the division, that Ty Simpson pick, too.
The division, Bears at 11.
Okay.
Detroit at 13.
Oof.
Green Bay at 16.
Ugh.
And where's Minnesota?
Scrolling. No idea.
Minnesota is 28.
Yeesh.
Yeah. Aww. So
that's
kind of a different list.
Kind of a different
16 Packers. I don't know. It
stinks.
Doesn't feel right.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the over on their finishing position.
Yeah, I would too. All right, there you have it.
Oof, I'm not sure how I feel about that one. I don't like that the Packers are 16, but again, I think that they are being punished for having only six picks in the NFL draft, as though Micah Parsons shouldn't contribute towards this draft class. If you're buying or building a new home, Great Midwest Bank will help guide you every step of the way. Great Midwest Bank always takes care of my family. They give us the best options. So if you are ready for your next big life decision, you can get fast and flexible mortgage pre-approvals straight from Great Midwest Bank's experienced and most importantly, local loan officers. From start to finish, bank with confidence at Great Midwest Bank, your simply local equal housing lender. See all of their customizable products at greatmidwestbank.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Calling all gamers, jackpot chasers, and Monopoly lovers, get ready to relive your childhood because Monopoly just hit Pottawatomie Casino Hotel, and this time it is paying out real cash. Watch Mr. Monopoly race around the board collecting gold bags and properties just like the game you grew up playing. Every spin moves him closer to bigger bonuses, bigger multipliers, and big-time Monopoly-style wins. Do not miss your chance to be one of the first to jump in. Monopoly Big Board Bucks is here, and the only thing missing is you landing on Go and cashing in. It is only at the Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. We talked to Jeff Levering at the beginning of the hour. Talk to him about some of the things that have been going on with your Milwaukee Brewers as they begin a series against the Diamondbacks at home. Gabe, remind me the rotation that is scheduled for the series against the D-backs.
So tonight for the crew, they are throwing out
Patrick,
and then you have Sproat, and then Woody.
And we talked a little bit about how they have a one game over 500 record right now, 14-13. And every team in the National League Central has a winning record. That is not something that Gabe said is sustainable, obviously, as they play more and more division games down the stretch. But I just checked the game log from 2025 to see when the Brewers really started to pull away to have that historic season that they had last year. At the end of May, guys, they were only two games above 500. So it was, you know, after that that they really started to make hay, Gabe.
Yeah, I mean, the two winning streaks did a lot of heavy lifting in the final record last year, obviously getting it up to 11, so close to 12, and then, you know, they won 14 in a row early in August, and that kind of, again, vaulted them to that 97 win mark. But I think it's kind of a similar, you know, kind of like what Jeff said, it's a similar mentality. You're just trying to get through this period where you're beat up. And honestly, I think some of the guys are pressing because you're missing some of those big bats in the middle of the lineup. And once everybody returns to their regular roles, I think some of that pressure is going to be lifted, because right now it just feels like the bottom of the lineup you're getting absolutely nothing out of. So those guys at the top, if you don't get it out of them, okay, we got to now wait a couple of innings for it to come back around. They just don't have that balanced lineup. But they're still above 500. They're still in a perfectly fine spot. There's no reason to panic, even though all these other teams are playing well right now.
Gabe, would you sit Frelick, though, when Cheerio's ready?
No, because
Cheerio to right field or Garrett Mitchell to right?
No, because Garrett's going to play center. And it's not like any of those other guys that they have Chew are playing well. Like, Greg Jones has gotten starts. I mean, Greg Jones has two hits this year. He has three career hits. Like, he's going to get sent down.
What does Blake Perkins
have? Blake Perkins is hitting worse than Sal Frelick. So I would not sit him, because I also have the most confidence in him turning it around and being the guy that he's been the last couple of seasons. And as Jeff said, he has put together a nice little on-base streak. He is starting to put together higher quality at-bats. And once a couple of those start to fall for him, then I think you're going to start seeing him rolling the way he was a year ago, when he hit 288, and he was a three-win player. And the year before, he's a Gold Glove winner. Because that's the other thing. Like, the Brewers, part of the overall philosophy is pitching and defense. And now to take your best defender, your best outfielder out, that just doesn't make a ton of sense either.
Okay. A lot more patient in baseball than they are in football, I can tell you that.
I do just want to make sure that they are monitoring him, because as we talked about, he is that competitor. He wants to be out on the field. He dealt with some left side tightness earlier in the month. And then wasn't it on Saturday that he was dealing with a little bit again? And Murph talked about how he's going to be out there. I don't want this to become a chronic thing where he's consistently pushing through an injury and then all of a sudden he can't push through it anymore. He's pushed through it too often, and it just keeps kind of growing and growing to the point where it does end up keeping him out of the lineup. You could make the argument that if he is continuing to struggle offensively, maybe what he needs is for his body to force him into a break, but I do want to make sure that they're keeping an eye on that. We talked also about the pitching situation. Chewy, maybe you saw it, because I know you have a lot of ties to Boston, but you saw how Boston Red Sox fans were just so upset this weekend. And Levering addressed it as well. They have gone through some major changes to their coaching staff. They are struggling mightily. But the fact that the Brewers keep getting the best of appears these deals is something that is really upsetting them. Yeah, and Kyle Harrison had a career-high 12 strikeouts on Sunday.
He was out there dealing, and he looks fantastic. And the other thing, I guess, I think the Brewers' bullpen is going to figure it out too, because again, as we talked about with Trevor Megill, a couple of really rough outings, he's starting to throw the ball better. Angel Serpa, he's really struggled. The ERA is high for him. Abner Uribe has got an abnormally high ERA as well. So the starting pitching's actually kind of been the strength, whether it's been, you know, the way that Chad Patrick has thrown the ball. Obviously, we just talked about Harrison. Miz, you know, among the league leaders in strikeouts. So they're getting good outings. They just haven't been able to shut the door in spots where they kind of did last year. So the bullpen, I think, has to figure it out. And maybe they have to figure out a way to continue to get outs without throwing Aaron Ashby out there every single day, because they're going to throw him until his arm falls off. And that's somebody, obviously, Murph trusts. And they probably would prefer not to put him out there seemingly every single game.
Will they move Megill back and win?
Maybe. I mean, it just seems like it's, you know, just kind of some ambiguity going on in the bullpen right now. They've gone to Abner in those save situations. And if they move him back to the ninth, I'm guessing it's going to be soon, because it seems like the velocity's back up. His last five outings, he's faced three over the minimum. He has seven strikeouts, so he's starting to look like the Trevor Megill of old. Or maybe, again, like we were talking about with Jeff, if they decide on any given night, hey, the seventh inning is going to be the biggest inning here because of the way this game has fallen and who's going to be up. So, Trev, you're going to go out there, you're going to mow those guys down, and, you know, we'll give the ninth inning to Abner or Serpa or whoever. So, I really, I really don't know what they're going to do with Trevor, but the good news is he's starting to throw the ball the way that we're accustomed to seeing him throw. And whether that's in the ninth inning or the eighth inning or whatever he gets out there, I think they're getting more and more confidence that he's going to be the lights out guy they need him to be.
I always like to do a little check in over at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook, swung over to the MLB, to the futures, see what they've got listed as the Brewers as the potential National League Central Division winner. I like it. Plus 400. You know, the longer, ooh, right? I know.
Wasn't
longer,
it just like plus 225?
I know, but the longer they stay around 500, mm-hmm, the longer, you know, you feel like you might get some good odds. And if you believe that this is a team that will be there at the end, which I do believe, I think it's a pretty good little bet to make over there at the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Joshy, I know you're intently listening to us.
Yeah.
Fibber. Do you like plus 400 on the Brewers right now to win the National League Central, or do you think there's too many other teams who could stumble their way into the top spot?
I mean, it's better value than you had to start the season, which is meaningful if you're still that much of a believer in the Brewers. I think it makes sense. I'm not opposed to it. I would honestly want them to be worse and try and take advantage of an even better number at this point. Because I do think there is a potential that they get below 500 and then we start talking about what's going to happen the rest of the season. That's what I would be most interested in.
What are the Cubs?
Plus 125. Ooh. Plus 125 followed by the Cincinnati Reds, who are playing very good baseball right now. They're at plus 300. Pirates are even with the Brewers at plus 400. And the Cardinals are, take a guess at what the Cardinals are right now.
Ooh, I will say plus, so what were the... What were the Pirates?
Plus 400.
So same as the Brewers.
650.
Higher.
I will say plus 1,200.
Higher.
Plus 1,600.
What? Higher.
2,000.
Plus 1,800 for the Redbirds.
Yeah, because they're not very good.
That's a shame.
They're not actually good. So, yeah. I mean, again, it's a decent enough number. And if what Jeff is saying hopefully comes to fruition, if Jackson Chourio is going out on potentially a rehab assignment, and if Andrew Vaughn's not far behind him, I would expect better baseball to be in front of this team pretty shortly. So while Josh's dream of being able to get better odds than plus 400 may not come to fruition, maybe stopping over at Pato and sprinkling a little on that number might not be a bad idea.
Well, we have to make up for that horrible bet that it wasn't a horrible bet. The Brewers could certainly win the division. Packers could certainly win the division. But man, did the Bucks let us down on that parlay team. Man. I mean, I went in my safe last week and just threw those away. I told you, right? It's like,
I mean, again,
the bad juju.
But you're also seeing why Giannis wanted to come back so badly, because if they could have gotten into the play-in, the Magic are up 3-1 on the Pistons. If they could have been that 8 seed, I think Giannis would have been, yeah, that could have been us.
Oh, God, don't start, please. I don't have the strength. I just don't. I don't have the strength.
You don't have the strength to talk about how if the Bucks had gotten in the playoffs.
To make them sound like they'd be relevant.
No, they are relevant, just not for the reasons we want them to be relevant. They are relevant, though.
That is fair.
We have gotten a little bit of a reprieve, though, okay? Knock on wood. There hasn't been any sort of...
Oh, it's coming.
Somebody's got to talk again.
Are they going to announce the coaching decision? That hasn't even been officially announced.
They're going to roll him out with Gannon.
Joint press conference.
Put it on the poll. Who will have a press conference first? Jonathan Gannon or your new Milwaukee Bucks
Taylor
head coach?
Taylor Jenkins.
Yeah.
Well, is there a OTA coming up, like a rookie OTA?
I think, right?
Well, they've got rookie tryouts. I don't know if the defensive coordinator would speak after that. Yeah, I guess rookie OTA, whatever. You know, it's a bunch of guys who aren't under contract and are trying to get, you know, the undrafted free agent contract that some of these guys have. I don't know if he would speak then, if he would have to wait all the way until, like, the first mini camp.
I'm taking Gannon.
Ooh. I think I'll take Jenkins.
Must watch TV.
A weekly pulse on the Milwaukee Bucks, straight from a fan favorite and Bucks legend. Tune in to Hear District with Marcus Johnson, a Bucks Plus audio production. Marcus and his son Chris, a 1995 UCLA hoops champ himself, talk about everything happening in the Bucks world. So there you go, Chew. You can get your fix. Stay on the beat of the Bucks and find Hear District now on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
excuse me. Hold on. Getting choked up over it. So
Hold on. Give me a moment.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Remember the way you felt when you were 25? The early morning workouts, they were a breeze. You had a drive that kicked in way before your first cup of coffee. Now fast forward to today. Do you feel like you're losing that edge? It might not just be your age. It could be low testosterone. And that's where my friends at Mentality come in. They start with a comprehensive 100-point blood panel to help get to the bottom of what's really going on. Then they build a personalized treatment plan using testosterone replacement therapy and targeted peptide therapy to help restore your energy, focus, and drive. In fact, 94% of men reported renewed energy and focus within 60 days. And just so you know, this isn't some trendy, new, off-the-shelf solution of the month. No, Mentality is all about real medicine. And while they can't actually make you 25 again, Mentality can get you back to feeling like that guy you used to be. So schedule your appointment today with Mentality. Just go to lowtusa.com. That's lowtusa.com.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Joshy, what do we put on the Infinity Exteriors poll today? I know you talked about the offensive line being the biggest remaining concern. What else we got?
Going to be honest, wasn't prepared for that question. Give me a second.
According to our YouTube stream, 80% of people voting think that the offensive line is the biggest remaining concern for your Green Bay Packers. That is a resounding majority, guys.
Yeah.
Even though we were trying to make a case for maybe the backup running back situation or potentially linebackers. Although you did make a good point. I had forgotten about some of the moves they had made prior to the draft when free agency first opened up that addressed linebacker.
Yeah, and made the trade for Zaire Franklin. And again, Isaiah McDuffie still exists. So you really only need, again, at no point are you going three linebackers on the field the way they did last year, because their base is now a 3-4, and 70% you're in nickel. So you really need only two of those guys on the field at any moment for this year's defense. So it's not as big of a need, or you don't need as many numbers at that position as you did in years past. So, yeah, the linebacker spot I don't think is something that, and again, now for the future, yeah, I got questions about Zaire Franklin, how long he's going to be here. And maybe they're hoping that Tyron Hopper can take yet another step. But after 2 years of not playing much for Hopper, yeah, I got questions on how they feel about him. Kind of, it's honestly kind of the same way. It's not to the same degree, but you know, they thought Jacob Monk might be a contributor, and he hasn't been really at any point in his career.
Confirmation where Bo Melton is playing?
You have been on this. You are very curious about
it. It's going to be wide receiver, Chew.
Yeah, that's where they have him on the depth chart ESPN, because you take him away and you really, I don't know, have four?
Yeah, I mean, he's their
Watson,
fifth.
Watson, Reed, Golden, and Savion Williams.
Yeah, he's the fifth. Sky Moore's the sixth.
Yeah.
So they've got six guys there.
I'm just saying, you take Bo Melton, leave him on defense.
Yeah, that's not happening.
You could be one short there, I guess.
Didn't play a single snap of it last year.
Yeah, he played more. He was a corner last year, and he played more offense than defense. And now they actually have openings. Like if their goal is to keep him on the roster, he's playing wide receiver because they have bodies now at the cornerback position that'll be sticking around.
Yeah, do you have a concern level if they do have to, in case emergency, break glass and go to Bo Melton as a wide receiver?
No. It's just usually, okay, play this position, you're not good enough, move you here, and then the next move is out the door. So they must really like him, probably for his special teams.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
100%. But yeah, he is wide, as of right now, he's wide receiver 5.
Okay.
Was that the only poll that we had today, Joshy?
I asked, will Trey Smack be the kicker week one for the Packers? And 73% of people said yes.
Wow. Even though Brian Gutekunst said that everybody's going to get a fair shake, even though he said that, just
yeah,
stop blinking at me. It's awkward.
Yeah, they will.
But to your point, they invested in Haversick. Not Haversick. Yes.
In McManus.
McManus as well.
Because they gave him $1 million.
Mm-hmm. Like a month ago.
Yeah, not that long ago, by being on the roster. And The Haversick thing last year was just really weird, the way they held on to him and held on to the roster spot because they were scared that somebody else was going to take him. And now he's the third kicker.
You have used more oxygen on the kicking situation in Green Bay than collectively any other storyline.
Kickers are important, Jen.
Are you winking again?
No.
Score more touchdowns.
Which is great until you need someone to make a field goal.
Score more touchdowns. Wildy and Josh is next on ESPN Milwaukee.